writes in Romans chapter 6,
we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father. In a way, it must have seemed like a rather ordinary day and an ordinary kind of occurrence. There's a man, a prophet, albeit a strange prophet, but he's doing what prophets always do, calling people to repentance. He stands in the Jordan River. The Jordan River may have an honored place in Jewish history, but it is a muddy creek compared to the Nile or the Euphrates or one of the other great rivers of the world. And then there is Jesus. He is from Nazareth in Galilee, not Athens, not Rome, not even Jerusalem. In a sense, the scene is ordinary, very ordinary. But it isn't ordinary at all. All the gospel writers record the baptism of our Lord. It is one of the few events that's mentioned in every gospel account. And in this baptism, God breaks into our world in a way that is far from ordinary. The heavens are opened. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove upon Jesus. And the voice of the Father speaks, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus is there. The Trinity is there. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit revealed in all of their glory. The sights and sounds of heaven are seen and heard on earth. And the ordinary becomes something amazing. When you think about it, what is truly amazing about this event is Jesus. For he comes to John for baptism. Now, John knows who Jesus is, and he wants nothing to do with baptizing Jesus. The people of Jesus' day were familiar with baptisms. It was for them an outward sign of repentance. Gentiles who converted to Judaism often would be baptized as a symbolic washing and a sign that they wanted to follow the true God. John was baptizing both Jews and Gentiles. He was calling them specifically to repent of all of their sinfulness, to acknowledge that their ways were not God's ways, to examine their lives, look deep into their hearts, and recognize that they had not always been very faithful to their God. Baptism, then, for John and for his followers, was a sign of repentance. And of course, to repent means that there is something that you need to repent from. And yet Jesus has no sin, no need for repentance, and so Jesus does not need to be baptized. John recognizes this. No way, he says. No way am I baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. But then listen to Jesus' answer. Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus is willing to be baptized because it will fulfill righteousness. It is all part of the mission of God, because Jesus comes into our world to identify with sinful humanity. He stands in the place of sinful human beings, and he is baptized in the Jordan River. And as he stands in the place of sinful people, he reminds us that that is what his mission is all about. That is what God's righteousness is all about. Jesus identifying with sinful humanity. He does it all the way up to the cross. At Calvary, he is nailed to the cross and hoisted into the air, and he takes the place of rebellious creatures. As he suffers the pain of crucifixion, he endures the punishment that sin deserves. And as he breathes his last, commending his spirit to his God, he pays the price for human disobedience and failure. It was part of Jesus' mission to identify with sinful people, to stand in their place, to receive what they deserved and what they needed. Peter says it this way: he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. And so this baptism of Jesus, is the beginning of what we call his public ministry. Another way of putting that is saying that this is the beginning of Jesus identifying with sinners. Equally amazing, God the Father is pleased with Jesus at this very moment. Listen to God's word. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." God is satisfied, even overjoyed, that Jesus is beginning his ministry of identifying with sinners. This is what God has always desired. God the Father completely understands what Jesus is doing. The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel quotes God as saying, "As surely as I live, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live." And the gospel writer John reminds us that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life. It was God's design that he would send his Son to enter into creation and perfectly fulfill the law, and give his life as a ransom for sin and rebellion. He came to redeem and restore his creation. He came to fulfill all righteousness and give it as a gift to his people. That's the mission of God. And that's why Jesus came into our world, the perfect Son, the perfect man. God the Father stands in solidarity with Jesus as Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River. "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And there is no doubt about it. God himself has spoken. God sends the Holy Spirit upon Jesus, and the people hear his words of approval. And everyone understood that Jesus was the Son of God. Up until that point, many people may have wondered before, but God spoke, and we're told many people, through faith, believe. If Jesus then stands in solidarity with sinners, with us, and if God the Father stands in solidarity with Jesus in his baptism, we might also rightly conclude that in our baptism, God stands with us. In baptism, we are all born again. We are brought into a new family. We become the precious children of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus. We have a new and amazing family. God is our Heavenly Father. Our brother Jesus is true God and true man. He has fulfilled all righteousness, and he's given us that righteousness as a gift. In the sacrament of holy baptism, your past failures are cast aside, and you're brought into a new and living relationship with God. You're forgiven, washed, connected to Christ, recreated, holy, and new. When someone pours water on you and speaks these words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," the heavens are opened. God stands with you as your Heavenly Father, and you are his true sons and daughters. You have the righteousness of Christ. The full reconciliation that happened at the cross belongs to you. all your sins against God, the times when you have failed to listen to Him, those times when you have failed to honor Him, those times when you have failed to treat others in your life the way that God desires, all of those sins are washed away. All that separates you from God is forgiven because you're connected to Jesus and to His righteousness. Our Heavenly Father gives you His Holy Spirit and makes you a part of His family. In the waters of baptism, you are forgiven and righteous. You are the restored children of God. And in baptism, we also become part of the body of Christ. And as part of the body of Christ, we also receive the mission that God has given to His children, because He is still all about redeeming and recreating His world. In the last chapter of Matthew, baptism is mentioned again. Jesus tells His disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God gives His disciples His mission. And what is that mission? To make more disciples. To make those who follow Jesus and learn from Him. We worship. We grow in faith. We serve others in His name with the goal of making disciples. How do we do it? Well, Jesus says to baptize. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, for there that gift of righteousness is given. But we don't stop at baptism, do we? We continue to teach all that Jesus has commanded. Not just some of what Jesus has commanded, but all that Jesus commands, we want to know. We want to learn. We want to share and teach with others so that all of us may grow as disciples of Jesus. It was an amazing event, that baptism of Jesus. God, the Heavenly Father, anoints His Son with the Holy Spirit. The Heavenly Father, who spoke at creation, now speaks again. The Holy Spirit, who at creation was hovering over the waters, now descends not to hover, but to enter into Jesus. And Jesus is at the center of it all, the Son of God, whom the Heavenly Father anoints with the Holy Spirit. A perfect vision of the Trinity. It is an amazing sight. In something common and ordinary, the one true God reveals Himself to people who otherwise would not know Him. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are revealed in this baptism, and Jesus is set on His way to fulfill His mission. As you remember your baptism, there are certainly very earthly components. The pastor, the water, even you. Of themselves, they are rather common, earthly, and ordinary. But God chooses to use these common things for His amazing divine purpose. Look closely and you will see the divine sights and sounds that accompany and remind us of the baptism of Jesus. For in both the baptism of Jesus and of you, the glory of heaven spills out onto the earth. In both, the one true God reveals Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we receive the righteousness of Christ. And in both, the Heavenly Father anoints His sons and His daughters with the Holy Spirit and sets them on a mission that God began with Jesus and continues today through the body of Christ. We have the blessing of knowing the power and the promise of baptism. And as we remember the baptism of our Lord, we also give thanks to God for all that He has done for us, His grace, his love, and his presence with us as Jesus comes to fulfill all righteousness. We'll join together in singing the hymn of the day.